This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Video games are the devil.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yes, sir. We got a nice little party going out here in Katy, y'all. Off Kingsland Boulevard in Katy. Come on through. We're at Big City Wings. Great location. It's a bigger location than normal. They did this one right. I guess it's for us. Well, you know, the company's obviously growing when you double your floor plan and
you got throw in the city.
You put more tables into place but Big City Wings is doing it right, man. This is a big time place and every time we come in we have a great time. TVs everywhere, great atmosphere. Waiters, waitresses, bartenders, big time. Food's off the charts. Drinks are off the charts. I got one of them cold Coors Lights in front of me right now. So come on through, man. Whether you're drinking that top shelf spirits or you're drinking this cold beer, we got, or anything in between, we got whatever you need. So come on through. Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator for the Texans, has been a big topic over the last couple of weeks. And I think rightfully so. Good, bad, or indifferent, Bobby Slowick is going to dictate moving forward, given the situation, the issues that the Texans are having, are had early in the season, or for the first half of the season, pass protection, Bobby Slowick is going to determine whether this team has success moving forward and what level that success is. And Bobby Slowick is just great with the media. I love how transparent he is in talking to the media, talking to the fan base. And he did it again, Ron. Several nuggets speaking to the media yesterday. So I pulled a few of them. And here's one of the big questions, concerns, again, rightfully so, with the fan base, is Nico Collins. Nico Collins obviously returned last week, was on some level of a snap count. He wasn't in on every game, played fewer snaps than he typically plays. And so I think that question is there for this game versus the Titans and moving forward for Nico Collins. He was on a pitch count last week. Is Nico Collins on a pitch count again this week?
We didn't really go into the game with any sort of snap count, but obviously anytime you get a player like that back, you are going to, you know, you're taking notes of, all right, how do we want to use him? How do we want to make sure we're being smart? And if this game becomes very, like, a critical game at the end, like, we want him on the field. So how do we make sure we're getting the best version of Nico when that happens?
Will that increase, will his playing time increase within the next 2 weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, really the same thing. You know, like, we're always going to approach it as though we're going to try to be smart, but the more often you can get a really good player on the field 100%, and, you know, not winded and being able to roll, we're going to do that as often as we can.
They did a good job last week, I think, of managing, you know, load managing him. He said he went on a snap count, but they clearly were conscious of the fact that he hadn't practiced full speed for a while and his conditioning.
They should have been.
Oh, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. Whether you're just trying to not tax the hamstring much and make him make sure he's available in the fourth quarter, or he's winded, he's not in game shape yet, you don't want to just throw him out there and then end up not having him at 100%. In the fourth quarter, him being exhausted. So, no, it absolutely makes sense. I would imagine, Ron, that they're going to take a step forward this week with Nico Collins. I would imagine that he's back to full go.
He looked like he was on the first play of the game.
Yeah, he looked like he was all right. Right, I guarantee you they were all holding their breath. I know I was when he broke into that open field and let it go. Oh, come on, hey, idle it down a bit. But he was fine. So. I think that the more games he gets under his belt, obviously, the better off he'll be, the closer to full speed he will be. I doubt this week, Ron, if we as fans and viewers even notice whether Nico Collins is on a snap count or not. Like, I don't think if he is, it's very, very minimal, and I don't think we even notice it.
Yeah, if you do, I think we won't notice it because it'll be ramped up more from what it was last week. And I think they should take their time with him, especially in games. Like, these are two games. Listen, they had the Lions on the ropes for four quarters, even with how bad they were in the second quarter.
Yeah.
They had them on the ropes. They were leading the game the entire way without him. They can probably – they don't – not probably, but they don't need Nico Collins – to play 100% or close to whatever 100% of the snaps that he would play against the Cowboys and the Titans, right? They can slowly build up. These aren't games in which, you know, they got to have him to compete.
Yeah. He should be at a spot where he plays as much as he can early, and if the game dictates he rests, the game dictates he rests. Last week, I don't care how the game was going, I think the goal was to have him fresh in the fourth quarter because he hadn't practiced enough full speed in order to have his win back and get his body back into shape, that he should be closer to that at the end of the day. So Nico Collins, snap count last week, even though they don't want to use the term snap count, they were managing him last week. He will be managed again this week, but I would imagine, again, that it's a lot more favorable to him playing more snaps. Now, also, Bobby Slowick, he spoke about the offensive line formation. And here's – I'm not worried about Juice Scruggs playing guard. I am more concerned about Jarrett Patterson playing center. That's the big part here. He's going to start out, I think, talking about Juice Scruggs here, but really dial in on the Jarrett Patterson part of this.
Any group of five you have up front always is different. Like, guys have different strengths in different areas that, you know, you play to in both phases. I would say Juice having a lot of football under his belt, in particular at center, and then moving out the guard, like, really has enabled him to have a ton of command and awareness of what's going on, because he was running the show not too long ago, and now he's just as aware of all the different looks and things that could happen, but now he's at a position that doesn't necessarily need to make the call. So he's just able to take in more, which has been really cool to see. Now, there's been a process going from guard from center. It's different still. Some of the ways he has to approach the run game, the pass game, and the sets is a little different. He's done a really good job growing from the first week there to the second week there, and we'll just work to continue that. And then JP has absolutely owned all the controllables, like everything you could ask for as far as a center goes. He's knocked it out of the park. He's been great on communication. He's been great on the sidelines. He's been great talking to the other guys. out on the field. And then he's really grown as far as his play style. You know, last year, we always thought he was solid in protection. We were kind of growing into the run game, and that has not been an issue for him, like, whatsoever so far this year, which is a testament to him and the work he's put in.
I love it. To be honest with you, I'm glad the juice piece was in there. To think about juice going to guard and being able to have less mental strain and more just go play is big. But the Jarrett Patterson is the new guy up front that we need to focus on, Ron, because, you know, I think this is being viewed as it's the best that we have right now, right? Yeah. It's the best option we have right now. Let's see how it works. I'm not sure that this doesn't have legs. I'm not sure that Jarrett Patterson at center isn't a guy that just needed the opportunity and the circumstance to present itself for him to go, okay, now I got a guard that can play on both sides of me. I got two highly paid tackles. And now if I just get in there and I communicate effectively and I can be the best version of myself, get a little bit better in a run game, which Bobby Slowick obviously believes he has. We'll see this week, by the way. I'm not sure if he doesn't play well and this offensive line doesn't – if this line doesn't or does continue to get better with him at center, I'm not sure that this thing doesn't have legs to be the answer up front.
That's why I asked you and the people earlier this week, do you think – that Juice Scruggs is done playing center here. Like, do you think we've reached the point now where we've watched Patterson and now they've obviously had an extended period of time to watch Juice Scruggs? Do you think that may be over Patterson's here?
I don't know why at this point.
If you're at this point, you're at your lowest point, and what you thought to do was to put him at center and move him over.
I don't know that you're going to do. Juice Scruggs is playing guard really well. Now we'll see this week if it's the real deal or is it smoke and mirrors. But Juice is playing guard really well, and if the communication piece is so much better with Jarrett Patterson, then you got to question whether Juice is better off at guard than center. Interior offensive line, I don't care. I look at this now, and I think the next three games is going to tell us whether we've got a center for the foreseeable future or not. Because, right, if Juice Scruggs, if there's an option to move Juice Scruggs to guard, then clearly, you know, he's not the leader communicator that just can't be replaced that you like to have at center. So the Juice thing is interesting because I'm not sure he's not a better guard anyway. The play free, just let it ride, road grade the way that he's built to do and capable of doing, I think is better at guard. And then you look at Jarrett Patterson, and if he – I told you, I noticed on film, there's a little different. The double teams are significantly better. He plays a lot more aggressive. Being honest, he plays a lot more aggressive than anybody on the front, right? I mean, there's been flashes of Shaq Mason being super aggressive. You know, Juice has flashes of being super aggressive. And I'm not minimizing those guys. I like them. But when you watch Jarrett Patterson's film against the Cowboys, he's flat-ass trying to get after folks consistently in the run game and the pass game. He's coming off of – like, if he comes up in pass protection and he checks to his right side and there's nobody there, he's checking left and he's hitting somebody. He's not just keeping a hand on the shoulder pads. He's trying to let them know, hey, I'm over here. Don't come this way. I'm going to put my helmet in your ribs. Like, I like his play style. Now, we'll see if what Bobby – is talking about actually plays versus the Simmons of the world you know, what the Titans are bringing to town. So I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but they're in a really good spot. That's the number one thing to watch this week is what does Jarrett Patterson look like? Speaking of this week, Bobby Slowick also spoke of what I believe is the biggest challenge for the Houston Texans this week, which is this offensive line versus the defensive front for the Tennessee Titans. Here's what Bobby Slowick thinks about the challenge that the O-line is facing this week.
really good. I mean, their front, they're really, their front five is probably for us, I would say, in totality, the best we face this year. Obviously, Simmons is a heck of a player. He shows up all over the place. He does everything, rushes inside, rushes outside. They have him drop sometimes, and he's still a factor even when he's dropping. Like, he's you always have to be aware of where Simmons is. Sweat's been doing a really good job for him. He jumps off the tape on the inside. He's a really, really big, strong man, hard to move, makes a lot of plays in the backfield. Their edges are solid. Landry is obviously a really good rusher, good in the run game. Arden Key, I've been with in San Fran, obviously familiar with him. He can go play. And Joseph is still, I mean, a really solid interior player. Like, they got people at every position. So that's a big challenge for us to be aware of in really both phases. And really the starting point of, you know, everything we talk about as far as game plan this week.
We're going to find out. All that talk about Jarrett Patterson we just did, Juice Scruggs we just did, Laramie Tunsil and Titus Howard being a little more physical last week against them Cowboys. It's one thing to be the bully. It's easy to be real physical when you're the bully and you're significantly better and the other team doesn't punch back, the other team doesn't fight back. We're going to find out if what we watched last week against the Cowboys as it pertains to the offensive line appearing to be more physical, appearing to have more fight, we're going to find out about it this week because defensive front, particularly the
Simmons and Sweat up the middle, those two big bodies. And multiple people have mentioned those names, multiple coaches. We've heard from D'Amico, and now Bobby has talked about those guys. Yeah, this is going to be a big task for them.
Well, I think it's – what I'm excited about is the challenge because it's both in the run game and the pass game. Now, you know, the stats will tell you that, you know, obviously losing teams have a hard time keeping opponents out of the end zone, so they've given up some points. The stats will tell you that they're better against the pass than they are against the run, which is interesting given that their front is as good as it is. So I think the challenge here – that I'm excited to see is this offensive line and how it stacks up against the Jeffrey Simmons and Sweats of the world in the pass protection game as well as the run game. So it's I obviously knew who Simmons was, and I felt like this was a good front they were facing. I don't know that I felt like it was as good as Bobby Slowick mentioned it being, but now you start rattling off some names. They're either right in line with, like, Will McDonald IV and Quinnen Williams in New York.
The Jets D line is the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, they're right in line with some of those dudes in terms of being able to get after the passer, and they're deep, and it's five guys up front that can get after it. So this challenge this week, I think, is going to be very telling about several things, but really, is this offensive line combination with Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs involved? Is this offensive line one that maybe one day Bobby Slowick can say, hey, we can take a little more risk with the play calling? C.J. Stroud can say, hey, I do feel a little more comfortable holding the football and taking some risk down the field. We'll find out this week if we're trending in that direction, or is it still the, we better stick to the screen game, quick game, and hope that works.
Yeah. All right, coming up, a huge matchup outside of the Texans-Titans after the Texans dispose of the Titans. This is one that you're going to want to watch later on because it feels like these are two teams that you're going to face when it really matters. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the new Big City Wings on Kingsland and Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, clap it up as we are live here. Big City Wings, the new one here, out here in Katy, man. I love it. Love to see father and sons coming out there. Ozzy, tell your dad, thanks for bringing me in the building, baby. Yeah, man, it's a good time. There you go, father and son right there. Just there. Hey, man, you could be my friend, dog. You ain't going to be doing me like that. Messing up my hair like that. No, man, come on out. Have a good time. Still big potential prizes for you to win. All you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. We still have Academy Sports and Outdoor $25 gift card. Still have a gift card here to Big City Wings. Also, the big Bud Light cooler right there that you can win as well. And I believe we still have U of H Baylor tickets as well. So still a lot to hook people up with. We're here till 6 o'clock. That's right. We're here till 6 o'clock, and it's a Friday night. I don't know about you. This feels like a good spot to get this thing kicked off. You can hang out in here and watch some football, watch some basketball right here with all the TVs around, and do your thing out here as Sam and the crew here will take care of you here at Big City Wings as well. All right, there's a lot of games this week that are some big games. But, Clint, I think one, as we look at it, man, like when I say a collapse, the Texans would have – it would have to be a major collapse for them not to win the AFC South at this point. When you start to look at the teams they have to play and you look at where the Colts are, you swept the Colts. The Colts are probably going to get the doors blown off of them this weekend as they host what Clint just said to a listener earlier is the best team in football. The Detroit Lions are coming to town. This thing should get even wider. There had to be a collapse. So it feels like the Texans know they are probably going to be in that 3 or 4 spot. The Steelers lost yesterday helps them get closer to the Steelers. Right now they're in the 4 spot. And they would face the Chargers. Right now it's the Chargers, but the Ravens are a half game behind the Chargers right now.
Oh, no.
They play each other this weekend, Sunday Night Football, Clint. The Ravens and the Chargers play each other, and I think this is one to really watch because it feels like the Texans are on a collision course to play one of those teams. They'll host them. They'll play one of – whether they move up to the 3 line, they would maybe – play the other one, or whether they stay there at the 4 line, it seems like that's where they're going to play. And I look at this, and when I watch this matchup, and I think people should watch it and pay attention to it, which one are you? Which one feels like the matchup that would be the best for the Texans? If they had to host it, who would you feel would make the most sense in terms of the Texans' chances to win in a playoff game, the Chargers or the Ravens? And right now, the Ravens feel different than they did at the start of the season to me. And the Chargers, Clint, feel different than they did at the start of the season. They are playing really, really good, might I add. The Chargers have the number one ranked defense in the NFL right now. But we understand there's a little something extra with the Ravens in terms of what they did to this team the last 2 times they played last year. 713-572-4610. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line, you can text in. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, who would you rather face right now hosting a playoff game at home, the Chargers or the Ravens?
It's easy with me off the cuff. The Chargers, without a doubt.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I whether you look at them, take the logos off the side of the helmet, and you just look at them as, you know, as football teams and say which one's better or which one's more dangerous, I firmly believe in Lamar Jackson and what they're doing, the physicality that they bring to the table. I don't care what the stats say, the physicality that they bring to the table in Baltimore, more so than what's going on with the Chargers, in L.A. with the Chargers. They've beaten some bad football teams this year. I don't know that they're as good as their record says they are.
Sunday will be a big test.
Sunday will be a big test.
I think people will probably look at the Chargers differently if they're able to play the way they've been playing all season against them.
I look at the Chargers right now, and here's their wins this year: Raiders, Panthers, Broncos, who have they played them week 5.
They've come on since.
Saints. They played them week 7, which is after they started out hot. They fell apart. The Browns, Titans, and the Bengals. And, you know, I just don't know that I believe in the Chargers being a 7-3 football team in the NFL right now as a team that folks should really be buying stock in. Got a real chance. I love this. This is Justin Herbert I can buy into. I've watched, gosh dang, he made some throws last week that were sick. I like this version of Justin Herbert better. I like what they're doing. I think they got a real chance.
Justin hasn't thrown an interception since week 2.
Yeah, and he
by is, the way, it's his only one.
And by the way, he's making, like I said, last week I watched him for the first time. He's making highlight reel throws damn near every quarter. It's impressive. But So I think they're good. Baltimore for me is still just a much more dangerous football team. Now we get to a point where Baltimore. I've watched Baltimore. I vividly remember sitting in NRG Stadium during COVID when nobody was in the building and watching Baltimore just laugh their way through kicking the hell out of the Texans. And nothing has changed since Cully and Lovey and D'Amico. Like that, whatever reason, Baltimore is a team that seems to have a really good time and really enjoy just slowly choking the Texans. So that matchup scares me. No, I don't like it either, D'Amico. That matchup really scares me there. So give me the Chargers 10 out of 10 times.
Text line comes through the Ravens and the Chargers. That's right. They do play Monday night, not Sunday night. Sorry. Chargers all day. The Ravens are the real deal. Let's not get it twisted. The Chargers are always pretenders. To me, the pretenders thing with the Chargers, you can throw out of the window with Jim Harbaugh, in my opinion. That's a completely different group to me, a different foundation. I'm not going to just carry the Brandon Staley mindset Chargers and to say that because
they're
a different team. What has changed is that defense. The Ravens defense is not the physical defense that we remember, and oddly enough, the Chargers, and I think what you're saying is very fair, Clint, of who they've played. You run down the list, there's nothing to defend who they've played. And, yes, that probably adds to them being the number one defense. But everything that you think about that the Texans struggle with, the Chargers this year have played, have shown that. Like, you start getting Mack and Bosa off the edge when they can play. They have guys up the middle as well. And they are physical, Clint. Like J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards is there now from Baltimore. They are a physical group, and you can tell that's the biggest shift with them is Jim Harbaugh has changed them into being a physical group. And Justin Herbert is a guy that can make plays in his way, the way that Lamar can. That can make plays.
It's impressive, man.
I think the defense is what. I think if I asked you this question 2-3 weeks ago, I think it's a dumb question to even ask. And some of you may think it is right now. But watch this game and kind of watch what the Chargers have shown this year. They have been a extremely physical team on both sides. And that Ravens defense, I mean, it's not even the same. And now Roquan Smith has a hamstring issue, and he's hurt. That's the difference to me. When you said not as much as that defense, that Ravens defense is – I think they're the worst passing defense in football, like even worse than the Bengals. They're the worst passing defense in football. I think I would say the Chargers right now because I think the Texans, even with the struggles of their offense, can score and make hay on the Ravens defense. To me, Madubuike is a problem in the middle, but I think they can make some hay there. So I think this is one to watch closely. If you've not seen the Chargers a lot, if you're watching Monday night, that's one because I think either one of these teams are going to be who the Texans face in the first round of the playoffs. It'll be either, to me, the Chargers or the Ravens. They are on a collision course with one of those teams. All right, coming up, I got a question for this game for Texans fans. I know Tyler's been on this throughout the day. I got a question for Texans fans leading up into this game coming up on Sunday. We'll discuss that as we return right here live on a Football Friday here at Big City Wings here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And Katie.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the new Big City Wings on Kingsland and Katy. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, you know, this is my first time in this organization going against that particular one, and I understand the history, and I can see how it would absolutely mean more to the people that have been involved in it for a long time. And but to me, it's still a big divisional game, regardless of who it is. It's the same to me as Indianapolis would be, as Jacksonville would be. But I do understand the historical context of it, and it does probably mean more to a lot of people. But for us, we're just going to go out there and see if we can find a way to win it.
All right, that's head coach Brian Callahan of the Titans trying to explain what I'm guessing he doesn't really know about, which is the rivalry between your Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans. And I want to throw this out to the fans out there, Texans fans that are here. By the way, shout out, give them a round of applause. Let me hear you out here, man. Let's make some noise as we're out here live here at Big City Wings. Still make your way. There you go. It's a good time being had out here. And I want to hear. I want to see some thumbs up. I want to hear from you out here as well. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan text line, although also on YouTube and Twitch, does Sunday feel like a rivalry game for you? Do you get the feels like I know Tyler next Saturday? The next Saturday, the thought is, hey, we got the Longhorns, we got the Aggies. I'm gonna pay. I ain't gonna put your business out there, but I'm paying a whole lot of money enjoy myself because this is how much it means to me. Does Sunday feel like a rivalry game against the Titans? It don't matter because rivalry games don't matter. My man, all right, thumbs up, Tony, right there, thumbs up. My man, right here, thumbs up. Because rivalry games, it doesn't matter what the record is. Hey, they're 2-8 or whatever they are. Does Sunday feel? Do you get the feel that this is a game that means more, that's a rivalry game coming up against the Titans?
I mean.
No, then you don't. I got it.
Yep. I say hell
but
yes.
But I'm the wrong guy to ask about all that kind of stuff. I hate to get into the coach speak aspect of it. I'm literally a week-to-week guy. I don't feel the need to talk about Amy Adams in a negative way, and I don't like the teacher on. I mean, I just personally don't view it kind of through that lens, unless the topic gets thrown in my face, then we can talk about it. But I don't look at it. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what I feel is going on around me because I got a lot of fans, Texans fans in my circle that are probably, I'd say, a little bit more passionate of just general fans than me. Whether it's the Texans or their college or whatever, I feel like the Texans have getting better and having a legit shot at like Super Bowls and playoffs and things of that nature. I feel like that has taken a lot of the focus away from the quote unquote rivalry that the Colts are or the Titans are. Yes, it's in division. It's in the division, and so, yeah, there's obviously means more, but I feel like the goals and the expectations and the standard for the Texans are so far beyond, like, the Titans used to be here kind of thing, that it's taken away, which I appreciate, it's taken away from that dynamic. Does that make sense? Like, it seems to me like the fans spend more time talking about playoffs, Super Bowl, like – much bigger goals than the Titans and worrying about now when they walk out on the field, I'm sure there's going to be some venom, right? But like the thought of like that being a huge rivalry thing, especially when we're talking about like college rivalry week coming up here pretty soon.
I think
it's wearing off. The shine's wearing off.
I'm seeing F Amy Adams, hell yeah, it's a rivalry. Hell yeah. No. It feels like more of a scrimmage game. It feels like more of a scrimmage game to see where our offense is at. now.
Really downplaying it there.
I always felt, and this one has come through twice, the Colts are our real rival. I've always felt the Colts were more of a rival, but I do love seeing the Texans beat.
You can have more than one.
The S out of the Titans. I'll say this, because last week did not feel like a rivalry game. Just the feel of it. And I would have think the Cowboys are the team that, at least in the almost 5 years I've been here. God, dog. In the almost five years that I've been here, it has always felt like Dallas is the team that is that you know gives the most emotion.
What's your point?
And sports hate Jerry, but I didn't feel like that. I felt like it was a business trip. I felt like it was another game. Now the fans were there and took over the stadium, but I didn't get that feel. And I'll be honest, and I would love to hear from you, Tyler. I have never felt like it was a rival.
The Titans or Cowboys?
The Titans. I've never. It has surprised me. I've gone off in the 4+ years of, and these guys took your team and bounced.
Yeah.
And left you without football for 4 years. I'm just usually the way fans operate. You would hate these jokers.
Yeah.
Like I think the people in Cleveland still hate the Ravens, even though they've had their team back. But do you get us? Does this have a feel to you? Does this have a feel to you similar to what you're feeling next week between Texas and A&M?
I really do, man, and I'll tell you why. Because to pull the carpet back here, as you would say, at least for me and my personal experience growing up in Baytown, Texas, East Side H-Town right here, grew up over in Baytown, I never had any kind of connection, any kind of love, any kind of feelings whatsoever for the Houston Oilers. When they were playing football, I was either non-existent or I was crapping my diapers. So my dad, however, my father...
Tyler, you did that last night after Taco Bell.
Not last night, but it has happened. Can't deny it.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. But my dad, my father, however, this guy was a diehard... With them through thick and thin, my dad was huge Oilers guy, huge Oilers fan, and he followed the Oilers to Tennessee when they became the Titans. And he, to this day, my dad is a huge Titans fan. So for me personally, growing up in Baytown, it has always felt like a big-time rivalry because that was really probably my first experience at Sports Ish Talk. Me and my dad, those Sundays when Titans-Texans were coming up, I mean, it was World War III in our house. My mom would leave the house because me and my dad would just get at each other.
Does it feel like that right now? Tony said,
I mean, to me, maybe not to that degree that, like, we felt it in my home and we feel it now. Like, me and my dad, we still have fun with it. But to me, it's always going to be some degree of rivalry. I effing hate the Titans, man.
Text line coming in, since Bud Adams is dead, the game hasn't meant as much.
Yeah, screw the Adams family.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. That's aggressive.
Oh, they're petty little bitches. You know it.
Let's go with Amy. Like
petty little bitches.
Tyler follows up with, since Bud is dead, the game hasn't mattered much. He follows up, since Bud is dead, with, screw the Adams.
I missed that comment. R.I.P., Bud.
Screw the Adams.
I want to ask Kenna McNair if she wants to go wrap their house with me someday.
Yeah, I don't know. And look, and it means something to Hannah. Now, we know that. But, like, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It doesn't feel like you would think it is. Maybe it's because they're not good.
Yeah, they sucked
Usually it doesn't matter as much. But it's an interesting thought. I'm seeing some people roll through with, I'm 38 and I agree with T all the way. This is rare, but I agree with Tyler.
Why you got to say it's rare, bro? That just means you're wrong a lot of the time.
You ate Taco Bell at 2 a.m. They're nervous co-signing, Tyler.
It feels like that person was saying that prior to the time that he went to that Taco Bell. Yeah. Rob on YouTube and Twitch said, if it means something to Hannah, then damn it, it means something.
I like that. You know Hannah cares, and I love it.
Oh, Hannah completely cares, right? Like I
think she'd wrap their house with me one day.
And there's not much she's not passionate about, so, yeah.
We're not going to egg their house because we don't want to cause, like, property damage, but I think me and Hannah are going to grab some toilet paper and go after the Adams house someday.
Text line, look up at Andre Johnson and Courtland Finnegan. Yeah, I think Andre was thinking, I hate the I hate the Tides. I think Andre had been wanting Courtin Finnegan for quite some time, and he had reached whatever point that a man reaches to where he just said, to hell with it. I'm done.
Just had to beat that ass.
My man made a conscious decision that I'm ready to release this money. I'm ready to give up money. I'm ready to get suspended. Yeah, I'm ready
said,
to give
old
up
buddy, old buddy.
That's more than the Titans.
Old buddy had earned it. He'd been asking for it, so he went ahead and handled business.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it does. It is interesting. Two people from Houston, where this thing goes from between you. Hell, not just from Houston, both from Baytown, different areas of Baytown, but both from Baytown that just kind of have different thoughts.
Well, I think we throw around rivalry way too frequently. Maybe it's because look, when I in high school,
when you hear rivalry, what do you think?
I think Baytown Lee, Baytown Sterling, where they had to literally lock gates at the when I was playing, lock gates.
Great rivalry,
like halfway through the end zone because the seats. Like used to in our stadium, you could walk from one side of the stadium to the other without going outside the gate. Right? There was so much friction in the Lee Sterling game that they literally had to put gates across there and lock the gates so you couldn't go back and forth anymore because people were fighting and that kind of thing.
It was mainly the Ganders causing trouble.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. We sat outside of the track. We didn't deal with y'all's bougie ass. You know, this is a little different deal. But but you know, like. You look at the Iron Bowl, like, it don't matter what the records are.
Yeah,
like, to me, right now, this game doesn't, like, last week's game, like, and maybe it's just the NFL, but last week's game, I mean, paled in comparison to what it would have been if the Cowboys were worth a damn, right?
Because that's what I'm saying. That didn't feel like what you're talking about, locking doors.
Like there would have been like Texas A&M. Like I'm glad the records are what they are, and there's a lot at stake in the game. But that game would be. I mean, there'd be fights in the tailgate regardless. You know what I mean? Like these kids are from all over.
I was surprised to hear Tyler say he has the same feeling from Texans Titans that he does Aggies. Longhorns.
Oh, not quite that degree.
Okay, because you said that. I said, you get that same feeling. You said, yeah.
In the same arena.
Yeah, Tyler's probably a little more unique in several ways, but definitely that way, right? No, look, like, bro, his pops is a like diehard. So every time the Texans play the Titans, he's got to get up and listen to his pops talk trash or vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally in your face, in the family, in the moment. That's a different animal there. I mean, I can totally understand that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We didn't have rival. We didn't have a rival in Arkansas. Like, they tried to make LSU the rival because we played on Thanksgiving. They tried to make Missouri the rival. I'm like, y'all trying to make everybody a rival. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's years.
Like, it's cute. I mean, people make money off of it. You can get a little attention off of it. But, like,
when I think of NFL rivalry is what I saw last week between the Ravens and the Steelers. Where there's hatred, they're about to break out repeatedly.
I think there's a natural the one other than high school, which is without a doubt the most rival of rivals that I've ever been a part of multiple years. When I was in Dallas, we weren't worth a damn, and the Commanders weren't worth a damn. And these guys are fighting before the. Of course, I wasn't. Yeah. These guys are fighting before the game. I'm like, guys. It don't matter who wins. Are we fighting for last place here or what?
Hell yeah, we are.
And these cats are still like that's a rivalry in football that I think is probably dying at this point, but at one point was a true rivalry. Like I don't know. I just don't. When you got one team like the Texans who they literally are shooting for one thing, and it's a Super Bowl, I don't think they got time for a lowly Tennessee Titan football team.
All right, coming up, you got a couple of guys that are out for this game for the Texans and some guys out for this game for the Titans. We'll keep you updated on that. And big, big injury news in the NFL from a team that desperately needs to be at full strength. We'll discuss that coming up next.